Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. This is Thursday, March 14th, Pi Day. Cousin Jared, happy Pi Day.
I mean, I guess we've kind of like built the reputation as we should care about that, or at least you should.
Yeah, why not?
I think I saw that, you know, there were certain pizza establishments that might be having like free pizza today. So that's exciting.
That is usually a thing. There's usually something around those. So check out your local pizza places. See what kind of specials you got for some that sort of pie, different type of pie I guess, than dessert pie. We've got four games we're going to cover here today on show. As you can see on screen, you know, we're wrapping up towards the end of the season. This is the slate just gets smaller and smaller as we move forward. At this point, but the quality should continue to just get better and better and more fun. So more daytime basketball. We have a play of the day for one of the early games. If you're with us over on Dub Club, and then a play of the game day for one of the night games, aside in total, like we tend to do. Thankfully got both of those yesterday. We are recording here on Thursday morning, so we do know how yesterday went. The free show picks, unfortunately, one and two, but again, the plays of the day both hit. So, many reasons why you should be over on Dub Club. The play of the day, just one of them. Otherwise, is there anything should I mention before we get going? Baseball's happening in like a week. I can't believe that. That doesn't seem right. But
yeah,
baseball here pretty soon.
I think I saw that like the Padres have already like gotten on a plane to go to Korea. It's just very, I don't know. It seems too soon, but here we are.
Here we are. Amidst the trade. As well, because didn't they just pick up Dylan Cease?
Which you would think that based on where the Yankees and the Red Sox are at with their rotations, that they would have been
people just fall dropping like flies from their rotations.
So you know, we're already in mid-season form where a couple teams needing some help, and then the Padres or the Dodgers or somebody just sweeping in saying, you know what?
Yeah,
I'm just gonna take this player.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Padres need rotation help as well, but we'll have a lot of baseball to talk about, of course. We will not do a show for those first two games, but we will have picks for those over on Dub Club, but no show for those, just by themselves. We'll still be mostly in college basketball mode as we wrap up March here, but then towards the end of the month, we'll be doing baseball shows again, you know, most every day, so that's something to look forward to. Otherwise, though, afternoon game, and Cousin Jordan, I think this is an interesting slate of games. We have two actual rematches from games we picked last week. And we're going back to the wheel on both of them. And it'll be interesting. We'll kind of discuss, you know, why we think one game will play all the same and why we think the other one won't. And so we're going to start off with the won't category, which is USC and Arizona here. We're going to go over 156.5. Sideline says 160. The model knows what happened last week when these two teams played. The game did not go over. We were wrong on that pick. A couple of things to say, and I don't want this to sound like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth when we get to the third game of this show. Number one, when any one game misses, right, we tend to say for the most part, you know, it's one game out of a distribution of many. The one game doesn't really prove a ton because we don't necessarily know. Did that play out like it should have? Was it an aberration? Should it have been higher or lower? But XYZ happened. Team just didn't hit. And that happens, but that doesn't necessarily shouldn't change our thoughts going forward. Sometimes something happens and it should change our thoughts going forward. It's not the easiest thing to just pick out one game and say, yes, this hit. And thus this means this. It's not that easy. So we have a model to try to help keep us grounded. That said, while we did not get the over last week when this game was being played at USC, Cousin Jared, my take on Arizona is twofold. Number one, I am insanely confused about how well they're going to play away from home. At home, they look great. They have no more home games this season. Now, you could argue that they play well. They're in Vegas. They play there multiple times a year. They typically have a very big fan base there, so you know, and traveling there, so I expect a lot of Arizona fans at the game. That said, it's not home. They've already played a game once or this season, that FAU game that had a ton of points, but they did not win against an FAU team that is good, not great. I don't know how this tournament's going to go for them. I don't know how the NCAA tournament's going to go for them. They're a very confusing team because they just sometimes seem to not bring it. Here's what I am certain about, though. When Arizona brings it, there are a lot of points. If there is any concern about them bringing it, the fact that they just lost last week to this USC team, I think they're going to bring it. Now, can they cover a big number? I don't really know. But if they bring it, and they should, that's when points tend to happen. So over 156.5 is the play here. Cousin Jared, what's your take on it?
When you talked about Arizona having issues on the road, more times than not, that has manifested itself as, oh man, Arizona can't stop anybody on the road. You know, there were multiple times this season where we saw, I would say, average offensive teams getting, you know, 80, 90, 100 points against this Arizona team. I mean, USC.
Or a bad one, I think, in Oregon State, who like got to 79 or something. And that's terrible for Oregon State. Or that's because they're such a bad offense. That's insanely high for them.
And even going back, and, you know, part of the reason why we picked this over last week was because USC had been playing better offensively. And USC did their part. They scored 78 points. And if you had told me going into that game that USC was going to score 78 points, I would have said, yeah, this game's going to go flying over, even though the total is in, you know, the 150s or maybe the low 160s. If you told me Arizona was going to score 65, we would have been.
Also, we've been like, wait, what? How?
Yeah, exactly. And you go through and like look at the statistics from that game. Arizona, you know, 38% field goal percentage, maybe a little low. I think there's some room for improvement there. 28.5% from three, a little bit of room for improvement there. 68% free throws, which, you know, you watch enough college basketball, 68% free throws is like, okay, maybe that's about average for a college basketball team, but not for a team of Arizona's caliber.
Yeah.
You know, you would think you would expect better there. It's really hard to think that they only got 65 points when they got 14 offensive rebounds, compared to USC only getting four in that game. And of course, Arizona had a lot of turnovers in that game too. To your point, they're not as great on the road, but that usually manifests itself in bad defense from what we've seen most of the season. I think Arizona, and we also knew this was the last game of the season. We said USC was going to come out, you know, and try to prove something in that game. Arizona had nothing to play for. They had already locked up the top seed in the conference tournament.
Oh, well, I mean, they did have to play for, they're still trying to get that number one seed in the conference tournament to be protected right?
I will admit that is true. I just think you're going to get a more motivated Arizona team. And like, even going through and looking at how that game specifically played out over the course of the entire season for Arizona, it would be an aberration if they have that type of performance again. It is possible, but unlikely. I think if you look at the range of outcomes for Arizona in this game, it's like 75-80% more likely they're going to play a better game than they did last time against USC. And you don't need that many more points to go over this number.
Yeah. A couple things there. Arizona, 72.4% from free throw this season. Going through those numbers, it just seems like each one of those could jump by about 5%, and that would not be surprising in the overall shooting, maybe even more than that. And that would be what you expect. That's what we talk about, right? We don't want to overreact to one game when a team just doesn't shoot well, because that's going to happen. And they're going to have games where the other thing happens where they just shoot really well. And we always talk about it. We just want to remind people, especially as we enter the tournament, if we have anybody new with us, you know, team on average, about a third of the time, these games are just going to go, whether it's over under or you're covering, you know, favorite or dog, just going to go massively one way, and about a third massively the wrong way for you. And you just kind of got to ignore those, because those weird games, you laugh, hopefully you smile if you win them, and you move on if you don't, because there's nothing you can do about those. It's going to happen. There's no way around that. And if you've been betting any amount of time, you're well aware of this. It's the middle third. And when you look at this game from last week, say there were some reasons to think that might not be the same, you know, replicating the same way. Oregon State actually got to 83 last time against Arizona in that game, which goes back to what you're saying, like an offense like Oregon State to get to 83 is pretty crazy. So, you know, if Arizona brings it, they tend to score when they let off the gas, because they think they're going to just cruise because it's a bad team, which is what happened against USC here the second time, what happened against Oregon State on the road, what happened against Stanford or Cal, I can't remember which team there when they lost on the road. That's when things go south for them. But given they just lost, you expect it not to happen. And so Arizona still probably going to give up some points because of that pace, and USC's been playing better offensively, but Arizona should score enough points. There's a lot of reasons to think this goes over the total of 156.5. So only see plus grade value for the model, but we think there's some extra value here because people are maybe overreacting a little bit to what happened last week, even though that isn't overly representative. Sneak peek of what you get to run Dub Club with regards to all the cheat sheet, all the information, everything like that. Little bonus game for you there, just to kind of illustrate what happens with the chart where you see all those games there. Fresno State and Utah State, that's one of those, of course, that Utah State should win. The only question is by how much. But as you can see there, sideline says Arizona by 10.5. I don't know if they'll be able to cover. It'll be a very interesting situation there if they can cover the number right now, which is 8-ish. At least as of the time of this recording, you know, it's always tough lying a number like that. If Arizona shows up, you know, they might win this game by 20, but as you saw last week, USC can hang around. So we don't have to worry about that. We're just expecting some points going over there. And again, if you sign up today on Dub Club using the link in the show description of that QR code, you get $5 off your first month. That'll take us to our night slate, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, Ohio State and Iowa. Kind of, to me, this one is short and sweet. I really just like what I've seen from this Ohio State team with the new coach. We talked about towards the end of the last coach era that, you know, they just weren't playing very well, that they were underperforming and things weren't going well. And sometimes that's all it takes, you know, just get a new voice in there. Don't know. I'm not going to speculate. I don't know about losing the locker room and players playing harder for one guy or the other. You know, sometimes, it, you know, those things happen or they don't happen. And sometimes it's just having a different voice, different direction, someone different, and things spark. And that's just what's happened here. Whether the ins and outs are positive or negative for whoever is kind of irrelevant. This Ohio State team is playing much better now than they were before. Right now, sideline says these two teams are pretty even. Give Ohio State a little bit of a boost. You'll notice the probability of win there for Ohio State is 57%, despite only being two spots higher in sideline. That's because part of the projected spread and win probability include a little bit heavier weight towards how a team has done lately, whereas the overall rank is more based off a full season metric. So full season-wise, these two teams are pretty even, but the model shifting a little bit heavier towards Ohio State because they have played so well here in this last month. And just a quick, you know, illustration of that is very evident when you just go back and look, if you haven't been paying attention to how they performed lately. We're going to take a -120 C grade value. The odds not quite good enough to get up there into the A grade. Your C grade of the -120, -130, -140s. But whether or not this is technically B or C grade, as long as you're not paying too steep of a price here, Ohio State seems like a pretty good side. They've been rolling. No reason for that to think that stops. Because Jared, what's your take on this game?
You talked about Ohio State playing better. I mean, when you look at the teams that they beat, they beat Purdue, they beat Michigan State on the road, they beat Nebraska. I mean, they beat Michigan. But they also beat Rutgers by 21 points on the road, which Rutgers, you know, not the best team out there, but at home, a stingy defensive team definitely can find ways to hang in games. And like I said, Ohio State won that one by 22 points, actually.
Rutgers at home this season beat Nebraska, beat Northwestern, and beat Wisconsin. So, I mean, they're not too shabby at home.
Yeah. Like anytime you go on the road there and win, that's a good day. I think the biggest thing that I've seen is like their defense has just been really good. You know, since they fired Holtman, they had the one Minnesota game where they gave up 88 points. That definitely is not a good look. But other than that, the defense has been really consistent. Iowa is just one of those teams where if you get into playing Iowa's style of game, you could have a problem. But with everything that I have seen from Ohio State here down the stretch, it's almost like they have an identity that they have, you know, lacked for the past couple of seasons. And it's like they finally found that in the past month. And so, to your point of, I just like what I've seen from Ohio State. I think that that defense first identity that they have is enough to carry them against a team like Iowa. I think they know well enough. We cannot play Iowa's type of game. In general, these conference tournament games are going to be a little bit lower scoring, maybe officiated a little bit tighter maybe than the regular season games were. And I think that all of those things play to Ohio State's advantage.
I don't want to make too much of it. I would be remiss if I didn't point out that this game was a 2-point game in Iowa City before Holtmann was fired. So that by itself would scream that Ohio State, you know, can make up those 2 points, I guess three they would need to win, being a neutral site and the way they've been playing with their coach. I'm not sure we want to make too much of that. That's a game, just to talk about what we talked about with USC Arizona, that's a game where Ohio State shot pretty well from three, Iowa didn't, and that is pretty random. I mean, there are some exceptions to the rule where some teams play better perimeter defense, and Iowa does not play great defense in general for Big Ten standards. But I have to point that out. I'm not overreacting to that. Really, just what we're reacting here to is kind of like you said, Ohio State has been playing really well lately. The one bad game they had was on the road. This is a neutral site. Iowa much better at home anyway, as most teams are. So kind of being able to throw out some of that and just look at who these teams are and the way this Ohio State team's been playing on defense, if they can, just cut into Iowa's offense, Iowa's defense is going to be have a lot of pressure on them. And that typically doesn't work out very well for them overall. So Ohio State here, -120, maybe it was -130. I can't remember how I pulled in. I don't remember if this number's moved around, but -120, -130, -140, all pretty reasonable picks. You need to be in the -1 teens for it to be up to a B grade, plus money for an A grade. Don't think we're ever going to see that, but still, as long as you're not past -140, a pretty sound investment. But as always, people, make sure you're shopping around, especially these moneyline prices that can differ from book to book. Make sure you got, you know, 3-4 different books there. It can be the difference between being a winning better and a losing better. Spreading your money out, shopping around, finding good prices. If you haven't checked them out yet, BetUS, first three deposits, 125% bonus. Link in the show description to sign up there. Check them out if you have not yet.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer, a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits, plus 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
7 p.m. Eastern, back to the well. Kansas State, Iowa State, a pick last week that worked well for us. Even though Kansas State yesterday, the under did not work well for us. Cousin Jared, I don't know if it's this simple. Texas is very defense optional at times, or defense optional in general, which I guess means it shows up at times. It doesn't at times. Yeah. And that's what cost us yesterday, where we were not able to get to the window with this under, but Texas took a big lead in that game. And then you saw just completely stopped playing defense. And that's just kind of sometimes what can happen with Texas. That was the risk we knew we were taking. We talked about that. I think I mentioned that through that out there, that Texas sometimes it can just get into really high scoring games. We kind of thought that would stay under just based off of the way those two teams interacted with each other the first time around. That did not hold true there, but Kansas State being another team against Iowa State, the interaction effect just much stronger. We saw it last week when these two teams played. I think it struggled to get to 120. I'm not sure it got to one. I don't think it even got to 120. And that was a game we talked about at the time. I think we said we might not get to 120. Same thing here. Things tend to slow down in tournaments, especially neutral sites. Now, again, there will be a lot of Iowa State fans there in Kansas City. Decent amount of Kansas State fans, too. So this one should be pretty well cheered on, as both of these teams should have a decent presence there for this game. But Iowa State's defense is just fantastic. And their offense isn't bad. But as we mentioned last week, even though Iowa State's offense is pretty solid, Kansas State defense will have the edge on that side of the ball. Iowa State's defense has the edge almost all the time on defense. There are very few exceptions to that. We don't expect pace in this game. Projecting 130.5 points, so under 132.5 gets us to a C grade. So not the greatest value, again, according to the model, but one we think we should be on. Cousin Jared, tell us more as to why we think that's the case.
We sat there with the Arizona USC game and listed all of the reasons why we think that game's going to play out differently. Couldn't sit here and tell you any reason why I think this game is going to be any different than what we played last week. Like, when you look over the course of the season, like, maybe that game was a little extreme. You talked about, you know, not even getting into the 120. So maybe it was a little more on the extreme side. But still, any way you slice it, you just can't expect a lot of points in this game. And to the other points that you made, just so many factors of the environment lend itself to this to be low scoring, whether it's a neutral site game, conference tournament game, win or go home. Everybody is really trying to max, like slow down and maximize every single possession. I just think there's lots of things. Plus, you know, you start talking about, and I know it's only the second game, but you know, Kansas State playing back-to-back days, maybe day two isn't when that catches up, but at some point in these conference tournaments, that's going to catch up with some teams with some dead legs out there. That's really all I have to say about this. How happy is the Big 12 that both Texas and Oklahoma lost yesterday?
Probably a lot happier than they were come football season, that's for sure.
Yeah. That was football season was the problem. And of course, Oklahoma's coach is already, you know, talking about, well, you know, we had some injuries and everything. And so the committee should really take that into consideration. And so there's lots of football jokes being made about the NCAA tournament selection committee and, you know, taking injuries into consideration.
So. Yeah. you make a great point. There's just not a lot of reason to think it'll play out drastically different from last week. Obviously, overtime can kill an under. Late fouls can kill an under as well. But the game last week, it's 123 points. So even if you add an extra, 8 points for late game fouls, we'd still be under this number. So there's a lot of reasons to like it here. The total last week was 136. So it's only dropped 3.5 points, but you should drop the total anyway a little bit because the neutral site game, drop it again a little bit more because of the tournament nature of this. The number of total points has been 3 or 4 points lower than the regular season here so far in tournament season. Which tells us that the books aren't adjusting to last week's under at all. And so if we liked last week's under, we should like this one. Even though the number's smaller, it's kind of a paralleled smaller. And so I think there's still room to go under this number, even though the model is hesitant. As you pointed out last week, the model was hesitant to go under either one of these teams' unders all season. But that doesn't mean that this one isn't a good night pick. So a handful of C grades that we are highlighting that we think are really good picks, even though the model is not just running to the window. We think that you might have room for a better number, but that doesn't mean these aren't still good picks at these numbers, which will wrap us up with Villanova and Marquette, one that is actually a pretty good number, B+ grade value. So we're getting close to an A grade here, a big enough differential between the projection and the actual number, that you might consider playing it at an A grade, especially when you consider that the model has not gone under on either one of these teams either very much. Villanova and Marquette here projected for 137.5 points. We're going to go under 143.5. Because Jared, there is a reason that Marquette games tend to go over. There's a reason that their pace is a little bit higher than average. That is, they are still playing the Shaka Smart trademark defense. They got a little bit away from that, Texas, for various reasons, but pressure defense, trying to speed teams up, create turnovers and quick buckets. When Marquette goes under, it's because teams refuse to be sped up, refuse to fall into that trap. And if there's one team in the country that's not going to fall in a trap, well, it's Virginia. But if there's a second team, it might be Villanova, right? I mean, Virginia's just in a class of its own, though. There's just no denying that. But Villanova's right there. They have been a frustratingly under team this season. A frustratingly, you can't speed them up. You can't get them playing that fast. When their games have gone over, it's just teams are hitting. And that's going to happen, absolutely. But they just refuse to get into that sort of game. And so that makes this under pretty appealing. Cousin Jared, what's your take on it?
Virginia is a team I know I've said this about, and I don't know if I've explicitly said it about Villanova, but I will say it about them as well. If Virginia or Villanova find a way to get into the tournament, like, that is a problem. Because what those two teams have is an identity. And to your point, you are going to play their style of basketball. Kind of like what we talked about with Ohio State, where I feel like that identity was missing until the last month when they made the coaching change. It's like Villanova and Virginia they know who they are. They know how they want to play. And to me, and are good at playing at that style. And that to me is something that is dangerous come tournament time. And I think the exact same thing applies to this game. Villanova's in, you know, win or go home situation. They really need to advance quite far in this tournament, in my opinion. And I just feel like Villanova, because of that identity, is going to be able to keep this game lower scoring. When you go back and look at how they've played, they haven't allowed an opponent to get into the 70s. They've allowed it once in the past month and a half, and that was to UConn. And so it's like, you know what? I feel like UConn, they're a different breed of basketball team for sure. Ironically, aside from UConn, the last team to do that was Marquette. But I feel like that actually helps us here because Villanova can look back very precisely and say, this is how we allowed 85 points last time that we played this team. And we can point to very specific things that we can do different to make sure that we play this game the way that we want to play and play the type of game that we want. I have no idea if Villanova or Virginia are going to make the tournament. But again, those are two teams that I would just be concerned with if I had to play them.
Yeah, both of those teams, of course, on the bubble at this point. A game that Villanova really needs to win. This probably gets them in, I would have to assume, unless other things go crazy and the bubble starts changing based off of small schools because of the fact that this would be such a marquee game for them.
Like Indiana State losing, and like that's one that definitely, I think,
did not help them.
Yeah,
because they're thrown in that mix for sure. And to bring us back full circle there, and you did a great job of talking about this here, the last time these two teams played, Marquette got to 85 points. But that one, I would actually go back before that. The first time these two teams played, Marquette got to 87. Both the times these two teams played have gone over. That first game was at Marquette. I think Villanova was able to come away from that game saying, that was at Marquette, that was different, whatever. We're going to go home. We're going to, you know, things are going to be different, whatever. And that game got to 165 points. They lost both of those games. They need to win this game. You have to imagine, as you said, they've got a lot of tape on, okay, guys, mm-hmm. we cannot get into their style of basketball. We have to play our style of basketball. And so I think that's why there's value in this number. I think this number is getting a little bit inflated by people overreacting to those two matchups. Sometimes we want to do that. Sometimes we don't. It's obviously impossible to know. But in general, I think people probably place a little bit too much emphasis on the head-to-head, exactly what happened, and we should focus just more on, in general, how are these teams playing? How are they? What are they like? And in this case, Villanova, you have to imagine with the season on the line here, a game that they, if they lose, it seems unlikely they'll make the tournament. You know, really going to want to put the brakes on this one. Of course, I meant to mention it last time, Kansas State in a similar boat against Iowa State, right? A game that they absolutely have to win to even be considered for the tournament. And most people would say they probably need to at least win one more after that and make the Big 12 championship game in order to be considered. So they've got maybe a little bit more work ahead of them. But both of these cases, the season on the line type thing, should help us slow it down. Doesn't guarantee it will. Obviously, Kansas State went over yesterday, but I think that was probably more of a function of Texas getting hot, jumping out to a big lead, and then forgetting to play defense. If Iowa State gets hot, it's ball game because Kansas State's not going to – Iowa State's going to lock it down, that sort of thing. And in this one, if either team gets hot, you know, anything can happen with unders, especially with late scoring. But in general, we expect that unless it's just a great shooting night for both of these teams, the under makes a lot more sense, that because there should be just a little bit more of a measured pace, and we expect Villanova not to fall quite into the same trap that they fell into those first two games if they want a different outcome.
Yep.
That's our show for the day. Thank you, everyone, for watching. We'll be back again tomorrow before we are back. Probably get another morning show just because of the fact that so many of the matchups are still TBD and we're still kind of gathering up all the data from the day's games. So a little bit harder for us to do a night show here at this time of the season. So probably another morning show here for Friday. But before we say goodbye for 24 hours, Chris and Jared, do you have any parting words for the viewer?
I wish A&M could go into the SEC conference tournament and just like already be in or already be out. It is very stressful every year to
be one of those bubble teams, just like Virginia, Villanova, Indiana State, all of them, right?
Yeah. And so, like I mentioned, when Indiana State lost the other day, I was like, God, this sucks. So, you know, I just, all I'm asking A&M is like either be good or either be bad. The in between is really just driving.
Either just lose the first game or like make a run. And
what's
they had before? They was it last year or 2 years ago? They made the conference final against Tennessee.
I can't remember. Literally every A&M basketball season since Buzz Williams has been there has basically been the exact same. Mm-hmm. They've made runs and they either end up in the NIT and like basically going to the final of the NIT, or you know, they lose in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Anyway, whatever. I just, it's something different, please. A&M basketball, I'm begging you. I can't take this anymore.
If you look at it, you know, obviously now we're getting into a little bit, doesn't really matter for gambling, but just for if you like college basketball, if you look at Lenardi's bubble, the 16 teams listed, I mean, it is quite a list there of teams. You have, you know, Michigan State, who's had stretches of the season where they've looked invincible and stretches where they've looked terrible. Oklahoma, we've already talked about. A Colorado team with all the talent in the world that has had some injury issues and is like, should be better than they are, but hasn't been. St. John's, obviously, with Patino. Indiana State's a team I think we all want to see in the tournament if they can get there. Virginia and Villanova, as you mentioned, with their identities are interesting teams. Wake Forest, a team probably should be better than they are. New Mexico, who's, you know, had some great runs as well, and a good, again, Mountain West, which is exciting because they haven't been quite as good in the last couple of years, which has been disappointing. Obviously, your Aggies, you know, Kansas State, we talked about earlier, Iowa on the bubble as well, and they're a fun team. There's a lot of teams that are interesting that have interesting identities that could cause problems for teams, you know, whether it's a team like Iowa who can put pressure on you and that can throw things off, or a team like Virginia or Villanova can slow things down. So there's a lot of interesting things happening on the bubble there. Obviously, I think I feel like we're united. We're not united as America in a lot of things. I think we are united for the most part in hoping to see Indiana State make the tournament. I think that's like one thing that we all can get behind. So maybe hopefully the committee has that pressure on them and knows that we will revolt as a country if they do not do that, right?
Yeah. And the only other one I want to ask about is Gonzaga. Like, how confident are we Gonzaga is going to be in?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah. They played well enough down the stretch.
Yeah,
that there's no way they
won. They were definitely questionable.
There was a season. Yes,
that middle of the season. Middle of the season. Yeah.
Yeah, middle of the season with that struggle, but then they went to Alabama, had that win as well, and they played better down the stretch. So they're 100% in. But there was that time in the middle where it was like, Gonzaga's going to make the tournament, right? They're going to make, they're going to for sure. Yeah,
Because
there was some questions.
Can you imagine the backlash if people who don't watch college basketball all season and just tune in for the NCAA tournament and they don't see Gonzaga in the bracket and they're like, who am I going to advance to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight now that Gonzaga is not there? That would have been like very rough for our average college basketball fans. So
it would have absolutely. All right. Well, good. We'll see everyone in 24 hours. Thanks for watching. We'll see y'all later.